All right, everybody, good morning and happy Monday. It is September 27th, 2021, and this is the day after the Ryder Cup, which, quite frankly, could have been Saturday morning, if you think about it, Keith. The Americans came out with a commanding lead and won the Ryder Cup back on American soil. I'm wearing the Stick and Hack red, white, and blue today in honor of the American victory. So we're going to, I'm Adam Grubb, Stick and Hack. That's Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio in New York City and host of the Pro Show. Apologies, I didn't go through the normal intro. I'm so excited to get into Ryder Cup coverage, Keith. You watched 98% of the coverage, I assume. You covered it all weekend for PGA.com, as well as for Stick and Hack. Just your overall thoughts. We're going to blanket, hey, thumbs up, everything's awesome. What a great, great world we live in. Puppy dogs and ice cream and rainbows. That's the day. That's the theme. We're going to just rapid fire through some topics, but just give us your overall view of the Ryder Cup this year.
Well, you know, Adam, it was important that they won. And it was great that they won in record-setting fashion. But I think what was more important is that they really had a paradigm shift of thinking that took place. And whether it was Steve Stricker or it was all of the vice captains or the team came together, whoever it all was that inspired this, you know, generational shift in the Ryder Cup, I think that's probably the most important theme that's coming out of the whole entire weekend, is that the U.S. team is likable and they're really, really good. And they're willing to embrace one another in order to kind of achieve this goal. And I think that's probably the most important thing that I saw this weekend, that, you know, there was a lot of things we wouldn't expect. And I'm sure we'll get to Brooks and Bryson in a moment, but Patrick Cantlay's emotion and the way in which Rory McIlroy played. I mean, there was just so many different subplots, but at the end of the day, Steve Stricker, the PGA of America, everybody was all bought in. And it turned out great. And well, we'll see what happens when we get to Rome.
It was amazing weather too. I mean, wind was kicking up, but as far as no rain, no weirdness, it was beautiful all weekend. So let's just go through some of these topics, Keith. I don't know really where to start or where to end. So I'll just kind of potpourri this thing. Let's just start with the rookies. And this was something that was big for us coming into the Ryder Cup. Our discussions here on Reacts, but also the entire golf universe, was that there were a bunch of rookies, bunch of people that don't know what they're stepping into. And that can be either a hindrance or a positive. And it turned out to be a positive. They were smooth and they were steady. They were cool as the other side of the pillow. Every single match that they played, the rookies were unbelievable. Morikawa, who ended up being the clincher there, the half point clincher, just looked incredible. Tell me your thoughts on the rookies, and did your opinion change of their ability and this long term Ryder Cup roster that could be on the horizon for us with these rookies?
Well, I mean, the rookies were impressive. We went down a road where Stricker said, "I want six of them." And, you know, you and I both agreed that we needed some change, and that was a good thing. And it turned out to be a great thing. The rookies accumulated like 15 points of the American 19, which is really impressive, because the European Ryder Cup team had three rookies and they only accumulated 1 point.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At the end of the day, those six guys led by Xander, Patrick, and Colin, each of them with three wins each, really impressive showing by the rookie side. And, you know, we call these guys rookies, but, you know, Xander has a gold medal this summer and Colin has an open championship and Patrick has $15 million. But, you know, Harris English has two wins. I mean, I guess they're rookies in a Ryder Cup sense, but they really got into the moment and boy, did they play good. And that's what
You heard Zing talk about it as coming into Sunday, you know, even late Saturday, like anything could happen. They're trying desperately to hold on to the viewers and make sure that everyone felt like there was going to be something happening here. A couple of the guys, they would miss a couple small putts and that's the Ryder Cup pressure. That's, I think, was the bigger question on the rookies, not their ability to play golf and not their year, but really, can they handle the pressure of this Ryder Cup? And they luckily they did early. And they never stopped. There really wasn't even it was, you know, 28-0 at halftime, you know, and you're like, what do we do next? What do we do in the second half? What other games are on? But I watched it the entire time and I wanted to even see him clinch and I was actually happy. This sounds weird, but JT or what's his name? Your other boy, his buddy there, Spieth. They had a chance to clinch the half point like on 12 or 13, and he missed a little 5-footer to be able to clinch. And I was actually happy because I wanted to see Colin clinch it on 17 or 18. I wanted just a little bit of drama. I wanted more people around, and I wanted a little bit of a scene there. So luckily, I got my wish, which was that Colin was the one who clinched it. All right, let's go to Stricker. His moves throughout the week, he didn't really have to do much. It sounded as if he had a plan, stuck to it. The plan worked, and he said, "Okay, you guys just go out and play." There weren't a lot of surprises. There wasn't any late night questions. It was here's the crew. Stricker as a captain killed it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely set a blueprint for future years of captains to pretty much go by. He got the team there early. He got them to buy in. He got them prepared. And it looks like he went with a lot of analytics, which I don't think the U.S. team has done a lot in the past, and I know the European team has done. It was interesting. They go 3-1 on Friday a.m. foursomes, and then he comes out and he starts breaking up some of these winning teams, which is something that the U.S. had never done before. You know,
Yeah. They
would just ride her till she bucks you, and they just keep going and going. And, you know, he obviously had reasons for why he was doing what he was doing. And the media is extremely difficult on the two captains, you know, Patty and Steve. And, you know, they are riding them all week, and they have to have like 17 press conferences a day each. And, you know, right away they're like, "We're up 3-1. Why are you changing everything?" And, you know, he obviously didn't have to answer that question, but the team answered for him, and they went 3-1 again. And it seems like that level of decisiveness really serves Steve Stricker well, and his approachability and the way that the team really kind of embraced him as their leader went a long way. And I think that truly was the reason for our success, was that they actually had a plan and they stuck to it.
100%. You're right. I mean, can you imagine being Padre Harrington coming off there after, you know, down 6-2 and having Steve Sand say to you, "Hey, what's your plan today?" And you know, I mean, my God, you know, that afternoon session on Saturday, they were in a hole, and Padre, he didn't really have a lot to say other than, "Hey, we got to believe that wasn't a plan. That was a hope. And it didn't come to fruition. All right, next up, Keith, Rory McIlroy, who was pretty much silent all weekend, played pretty poor golf, was winless coming into the singles. He was let out first match when Europeans had to win, basically win out in order to make this thing even exciting. And perhaps take the cup or retain the cup. Rory came out. He did win his singles match, luckily, but he had a bad week. And he's had a kind of a weird year, but he got very emotional afterwards, and how much this meant to him and how much this means to his life and his career and what it means to be part of the Ryder Cup team. There was some emotion from Rory that we had not seen in a long, long time. And that was bubbling up, I'm sure. And Twitter universe went crazy, of course, and blah, blah, blah. But at the end, that Rory showed how much the Ryder Cup means to each individual golfer. It was special to see your reaction to watching Rory not cry, but get emotional on TV. And then, of course, the cameraman, the producers in the truck going, you know, zoom, zoom, zoom. And they just kept zooming in on Rory's face so you could see the tears well up. But your reaction to his reaction?
Well, I mean, I think his interview is just kind of a microcosm for the emotional kind of that they wear on their sleeve, the Europeans do, about the Ryder Cup. It really does mean a lot to them. If you look at their press conference, have you ever seen a press conference from a losing team that where the team was that tight and, you know, they were still able to joke, and you could tell that it really wore on them, especially the three older guys, Garcia, Westwood, and Poulter. You could really tell, like, man, this, maybe not Garcia, but the other two, it's probably their last one. And to go out like this after the record that they had, winning 7 of the last 9, and Lee Westwood being such like a team leader for the last 20 years, it really wore on them. And I think that, you know, Rory's kind of in the middle there. He's kind of the changing of the guard. He represents more the Rahms than he does the Westwoods of the world. And in the middle, if somebody was passing the torch, Rory had to be the one to accept it. And certainly Rahm did. But I think Rory really felt bad that he let his team down, because it means so much to them over there. You have to remember something. The European Tour owns the Ryder Cup, but the PGA of America owns the U.S. side of the Ryder Cup, not the PGA Tour. So those guys that grow up on the European Tour, the Ryder Cup is a really big deal. You know, it's just part of their life over there. Whereas our PGA Tour is separated from the Ryder Cup. And as a result, I think that's why they are so emotionally connected and so passionate about winning, you know, that little 18-inch trophy. That's why it's such a big deal. And it's fun to watch, and it's great to see their camaraderie, even in defeat in the press conference, which I thought, you know, was very admirable, and it was something that certainly caught my attention. But Rory, his interview is just, you know, it's a bad weekend, man. It's tough.
I'll tell you, we're going to have to dedicate an entire hour show to just understanding the difference between the PGA of America, PGA Tour, PGA Tour not owning this, the European Tour owning that. They're splitting ownership. I'd really like to dig into that. Not today, Keith.
Yeah.
My brain can't handle it on a Monday, but at some other point, I'd like to dig into that a little bit. All right, so let's talk about Shane Lowry for a second. And I know that's a weird topic here for Axe, but Shane Lowry, he was literally pulling everybody behind him, and he made a lot of American fans over the weekend. You saw this intensity of Lowry. He was not lucky to be in there, but he was fortunate to be in the Ryder Cup for the Europeans. And he performed well. He played great early, and he hit some huge putts, and his dad celebrating with him. It was just an incredible scene watching Shane Lowry, Open champion, now you know, here at the Ryder Cup. And he doesn't look like every other golfer out there. He looks like every one of our golfers that we play with. Yeah. On the weekends. He doesn't look like the PGA and European Tour style golfer, but he's just getting it done. And he was fun to watch. And he felt like he was just enjoying himself out there. And that as a young kid looking at that, even on the European side or even on the American side, saying, "Oh my God, that's what it's like." I mean, look how much fun that kid's having. That was pretty special for me to see. And that was a storyline that I think probably got missed in this massacre over the weekend.
Well, I mean, he's the only rookie on their side that scored a point. And mm-hmm. I mean, if you just go to their press conference transcript, you hear what he said. Somebody asked how big a deal this was. He says, "This is the biggest deal of my life." He goes, "I won the Open Championship in my home country by a bunch of shots. And that pales in comparison to this experience." I mean, so that right, I can't say anything more than that. And when he said it with such fervor. It was like, okay, right. I would think winning the Open Championship in Ireland as an Irishman would be a pretty big deal, but this obviously was a bigger deal. And you know what? Hopefully the U.S. team finally, this younger generation, and this was the reason why I thought that everyone talks about the paper, you know, they were, you know, average team world ranking was nine, right? They were under 30. There was eight guys in their 20s, four guys in their 30s. You know, this was a generational shift in thinking for the U.S. team. You know, there was nobody over 40 on the team. And the oldest guy, Dustin, is 37, but he was born in 1984. I mean, like, this was a whole new shift. No more Tiger. No more Jim Furyk. No more Phil Mickelson. You know, it really did. These kids came out, Patrick, Xander, Colin. I mean, you look at it. Whose team is it? Is it JT's team? You know, is it DJ's team, or who is this emotional leader behind? I mean, all of them seem like they're emotional leaders, and I think that went a long way. And I think the change in thinking, people didn't give it enough weight going into it, and everybody was on the Euro side, even though the Americans were favored. Well, geez, they showed why they were favored.
Yeah. Now, DJ had a bunch of points for the United States. You wouldn't know it, though, because he showed very little reaction until they brought up partying at the presser at the end. Then all of a sudden, he was alive and well and back to us. And that's an entire other topic. All right, let's move on to my favorite two people in the whole wide world, besides you and myself, is Bryson and you're very welcome. Bryson and Brooksy. They had a bro hug. They had a moment. They had several, even right after the round there on 18 when they were 17 when they were celebrating, and then later on in the presser, they had a moment. Dan Hicks, it was like he was watching two star-crossed lovers meet for the very first time in some rom-com. He lost his mind and was pretty pumped about it. But at the end of the day, they did have a moment. Is this enough to repair whatever BS was happening throughout the year between those two? has this really brought not just the United States together and this team together, but two people that have been at each other an entire year in golf. Has this helped bring them together, or was that hey, we're on the same team, cameras are here, let's do this. This should be good for our PIP points or whatever the hell it's called.
I sure hope so, Adam. I mean, it's getting so tired. It was May when that whole thing started, and Brooks rolled his eyes at the PGA Championship. So this thing's been going on for a long time. And I think both of their online resumes have taken a hit, you know, as a result. And people are getting tired of this whole thing. Even the people on Twitter that love to, you know, kind of promote it and everything, were getting tired with it, because I think these guys were getting tired with it. So
Even me, Keith, I was tired of it. In fact, this weekend I became a Bryson. I don't fan is a strong word.
What?
It's a strong word.
What?
But I became a little bit more in tune to his deal, his persona, and what he was doing. When he held up his driver like Thor and came at it with, and even when he was gonna, there was one hole where he got booed because he didn't have the driver, and he looked up at the crowd. He said, "Relax, everybody. I'm still going for the green." He had a 3-wood from 350 or 360 out. Those type of moments, I think, helped Bryson quite a bit with multiple people and multiple fans, but me included. And I know that that was a big concern of his over the weekend, was that Adam Grubb was going to be a fan of his again, and I am. I thought he's good. I think he's really good for the U.S. and for that team, for that atmosphere, that showmanship, everything that he's about. He counterbalances DJ's lack of. He is there to really get things going. So hopefully Bryson and Brooks are done, not for their sake. I don't care about their feelings, specifically for golf's sake. Now let's get something new going on here. We've got gold medals. We've got Ryder Cup. We've got new blood. It is a new PGA and USGA season. It is a great time for golf in general for all the pros. So Ryder Cup, thumbs up all the way around. Awesome weekend. There's 3 hours we can talk about, and they try to on the Golf Channel to still talk about all the storylines. But we'll move on. One more topic. Now this is one of those unfortunate moments for the LPGA, because it was on a weekend of the Ryder Cup, but something miraculous happened.
Yeah,
I think miraculous happened in the LPGA in the latest tournament. And I'll see if. Do my best here to get the facts right. You can fill in where I'm wrong, per usual. We had a LPGA superstar back-to-back days hit hole in ones on separate par threes and an incredible string of birdies, and won a tournament by only one shot, though. Keith, tell us the story in the LPGA and an incredible run of golf that was unfortunately probably missed by most due to the Ryder Cup frenzy.
Yeah, unfortunately, the story's going to get buried, but it's a pretty unbelievable story. I mean, it's been a record-setting weekend in a lot of ways, and, you know, we'll have to leave it up to the true Twitter analysts to figure out whether or not this has ever happened before. But Nasa Hataoka, who ended up winning the Walmart Arkansas Championship, she did it with two hole-in-ones, Adam. In the first round on the 11th hole, the par three, she made a hole-in-one, and in the second round on the 6th hole, she made a hole-in-one. Two-in-one tournament. You know, just a ton of birdies on top of it. She was the one that lost in the playoff at the Women's U.S. Open at the Olympic Club. So definitely a young superstar. And, you know, she couldn't steal the stage from the American win this weekend. But, I mean, in her own right, two hole-in-ones in the same tournament. My hat's off, you know. I mean, unbelievable. Great.
It's winning by one. It's a good thing she got that second hole-in-one, or else it would have been a different deal. Hey, you have to hit a hole-in-one here in order to win. Okay, done. I did it yesterday. I'll do it again today. Just an incredible story, and that again proves the power of the LPGA right now, the sheer talent and an amazing core of women that are playing in that league right now. It's really, really cool. So an incredible weekend, Keith.
Hey, wait, before we go.
Yeah.
You got another minute? I gotta ask you a question.
This is the longest reacts in the history of reacts, so let's just keep it rolling.
We've lost 100 of the last 100 Ryder Cups. Can we have some fun today, or what? Right. Speaking of having some fun, what did you think of the celebration by the Team U.S.? Was it contrived, or were they really, really, really going to get after it? What'd you think?
Oh, I don't think there was anything contrived about it. I think they were celebrating mid afternoon on Saturday already. I think that was a pent up. All right, finally we can let our hair down. I didn't even know that was a topic. Was that being talked about? That it was a fake celebration? I'm very confused.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of those guys come across pretty stiff in their individual way week in and week out. And then to kind of bring them together and spray champagne on one another, I don't know. I just wanted to get your feedback on that. All right, so one last question for you. What was your moment of the matches? What was your favorite moment of the whole Ryder Cup?
Oh, man. What a question. I mean, 3 days of coverage. I watched a majority of it. My favorite moment, probably when Bryson hit the lady on the on like hole one. She was fine, but it was like, hey, it was impossible to drive that home or to drive that hole, and he did. I think that was great. I think another moment for me probably was just seeing Patrick Cantlay look like he enjoyed himself for a couple holes. And what was the line? There's a great line from the Sky Sports where they said, Patrick Cantlay's body is celebrating. Someone should tell his face.
Yes. Yeah. I did see that one. That was great. All right. My moment of the match was Sunday singles. Bryson drives the green on the first hole. And before he gets off the first tee, he takes out his putter. Huge power move there. And he holds it up like Excalibur.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yes.
On a par four to take your putter out on the tee in the middle of the Ryder Cup. I mean, the guy hit a 417-yard drive, and he outdid that moment. It was pretty cool. I really enjoyed it, and I'm so happy you're back on Team Bryson.
Relax on that. Let's just pump the brakes there, fella. That was a gross overstatement. My other favorite moment was Spieth's shot it doesn't matter what hole. That was unbelievable. He almost fell into the lake, but that was an incredible recovery. I think that was Saturday, right?
Friday a.m.
Friday, yeah. That was one of the first moments where and watching the ball tracer go up about 1,000 yards. That was that was replayed over and over again of him running down the hill there. So that's a shot that I couldn't even pull off that stance, let alone that shot. Yeah. So good for him. Keith, enjoy the week, and I don't know what, I mean, I guess we'll talk to you in March. I have no idea what we talk about every week moving forward. Hopefully we can find some great storylines here as the seasons roll through. All the big moments are over, but I'm sure you and I will be able to find some moments of our own here shortly. Stick and Hack Reacts, your weekly look at the PGA and LPGA from Keith Stewart and Adam Grubb. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will see you next week. Keith, enjoy your day and enjoy your week, sir.
Hey, Adam, you keep talking. I'll keep reacting. Let's go.